Well, good morning, everyone. It is great to be here once again. And today, hey, look, we have probably about 2 weeks before the season begins, and there's a lot of different questions. New England still has some questions. People keep vying for Justin Fields to be starting over Andy Dalton. But with that said, today we're going to preview the NFC West, sleepers, rookies, free agents who change teams, news and notes. And as usual, Jed, Jimmy are here to talk it through. Good morning, everyone.
Morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Jed, I'm going to start with you. Yesterday, both you, me, and Jimmy were part of a 12-team fantasy draft, and we were just talking about this. When you are doing it in the 12-team, Jimmy and I had the first and second pick. You had the 10th pick. In the 12-team league, it is slim pickings. What was your strategy going in as you looked at and participated in that draft?
Yeah, I was just saying that I thought, and it was an auction, not an auction draft, it was a snake draft, which, by the way, I really do not like. For any of you out there, if you're serious about fantasy, you should be in an auction draft. But in a snake draft with the 10th out of 12 teams, I thought for sure I was going to have to do like a wide receiver combo or a wide receiver tight end combo. I ended up not. I ended up going with two running backs and kind of lucked out, I thought, because Aaron Jones and Antonio Gibson fell to me, which I was surprised at. But then it really hurt me when I got to the wide receivers. When I finally got back, I had like almost no one to come from.
Yeah. Jim, what about yourself?
It is good that you got Gibson and Jones, right? Because those are two consistent guys from a points perspective. And I would imagine your assumption was there's a ton of wide receivers out there. I'm gonna go after these running backs and get two of them. Now, I'm sure that you wish that you at least took maybe like a Gibson and another wide receiver or something like that too, or Aaron Jones and a wide receiver. But yeah. I had the first.
I mean, I ended up getting George Kittle's. So that ended up well, too, tight end. But my wide receivers are really weak. So,
Well, Curtis Godwin fell to you as well, too. I was very surprised when I clicked on it, Jed. I said, Curtis Godwin is on your team?
Yeah, he did fall to me, so it worked out. So, I mean, you basically have to punt on some. So, like, I didn't pick a quarterback until, I think, like the 10th or 11th round. So you're going to have to miss some categories, but you just want to make. I think the hard thing, if you're 10, 11, 12, if you're in the back, the hard thing is not to chase positions. So like you see a run of a single position, you're tempted to chase that. You don't want to do that. You want to lead. You want to get the best players at the top of that position as opposed to the last few at that position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jim, Jed, you know, for me, a lot of times, Jed, we were talking about this through text. For instance, George Kittle was sitting there. But the quarterbacks there was a run in quarterbacks. And I'm sitting there while Dak Prescott is there and Aaron Rodgers and all that. Let me just, by the time it zips back to me in the snake draft, I probably won't have the quarterback I desired. So do I pick that or do I pick George Kittle's, one of your three top tight ends? I made the decision to go with Dak Prescott and ended up going with Kyle Pitts and Logan Thomas versus a George Kittle's and a Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, and see, that's the flip is I got George Kittle's, but then my quarterback is Tannehill. So that's a pretty big drop from Dak Prescott to Tannehill, whereas I think like either Pitts or Logan Thomas, and that was smart to pick two tight ends because I'm doing that too. Anytime I have Pitts, I have a second tight end because in case Pitts does not pan out, you've got a second backup.
Yeah. All right, Jim, hey, going back to you, I mean, Jen and I were just talking about which players did you find yourself drafting toward the end?
You know what? The trend that I've been noticing for myself, and here's the players I've been kind of almost taking. So Michael Pittman, ever since I found out that T.Y. Hilton is going to be out either for a part of the season or most of the season, I look at it and say he's actually a really good number one receiver that I'm willing to take a risk on. Mike Davis, to be honest, going with the zero running back strategy, I decided that he's going to be the person that I'm going to really focus on to be almost like the foundation of my running backs. So in this particular draft, I actually had the first pick. So I got Christian McCaffrey, which is fine. But Mike Davis is usually the person I go after because I actually do think that he's going to be have a really good year. The flyer or the player that I've been kind of risking things on is Marquise Callaway from the Saints. And he's the person that I really like and has a high ceiling that I've been really going after as well, too.
Hey, Jed, in my leagues with Jimmy, he keeps trying to trade for Marquez Callaway.
Yeah, I think that's smart, you know, especially with Winston there. I mean, I like New Orleans a lot. I think that's, you know, it's just a question of where. I've actually been drafting Michael Thomas. You guys saw I took Thomas, I think, around round 11 or 10, and just stashing him on the IR and hoping he'll hit in the second half.
Yeah. It really comes down to the fact that, really comes down to the fact, Jim, is, and Chad, a lot of times is you may not be familiar with the players like a Callaway. You may not be familiar with Michael Pittman, but you're looking at their offenses. Their second wide receiver isn't very good. Their quarterback likes to air it out, whether it's Winston or Wentz. And so as a result, you want to make sure you choose that player that fits best within the system.
Yeah, you know, I know we'll talk about this. I know we'll talk about this as well, but Tyson Williams from Baltimore, he's been the person that I'm kind of targeting in the latter rounds. Because I'm just not a big believer in Justice Hill or even in who's the guy who's going to end up starting.
Gus Edwards.
Yeah, I'm not a believer in either of them. And Williams is a good rookie coming in who I think has lots of potential. And so I decided I'm going to go after him.
With that said, let me actually turn to – oh, go ahead, Jed.
I was just going
to
say a couple things that have changed for me just in the past week is that, you know, I've talked about avoiding the Jets, and I've come around a little bit on that where I do think you need to watch the running back competition there. There's potentially some points there. But in particular, I've taken Corey Davis in a couple drafts because he's gotten a huge lion's share of the looks during the preseason. And if there is any hope for Zach Wilson, then, you know, Corey Davis could be a beneficiary. So I've changed a little there. The other team is the Rams. I'm a little worried that Stafford, they're not going to air him out as much as we expected back in from the Detroit days. So I think he might not produce as much as we had previously hoped, and they might focus on the running backs.
Yeah. So as a result, does that move up Sony Michel in terms of who you're drafting and liking?
Yeah, exactly. I think I really do just still like Daryl Henderson. I think hopefully the injury is not a problem to the hand or the wrist. But I like the running back situation there. But you're absolutely right. I think Sony Michel in a 12-team league, Sony Michel should definitely be drafted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, going to news and notes, and actually, Jim, I'm going to go over to you as well too. The Ravens placed J.K. Dobbins on injured reserve. He had ACL tear. It's the second running back. Cam Akers had a Achilles tear. Now J.K. Dobbins had a season-ending ACL tear. As a result, you said a lot of times Gus Edwards is not your guy. Tyson Williams, how far are you going to reach for him? He's a rookie coming in. He's already surpassed Justice Hill as your second number two running back. And Gus Edwards is a vertical running back. He can't really have a lot of separation. He runs people over, but in a straight line, Tyson Williams becomes this catcher out of the backfield, but more shiftier running back.
Yeah, no, I actually like Tyson Williams. Like, I was just paying attention to him. It was funny. I was trying to look for him on ESPN, and they actually didn't list him originally. Now they put him on the fantasy league. But I don't know. I mean, last year, if you look at Edwards, right, he had 144 rushing attempts, and Dobbins had 134. So I think that he's still worth a lot of value. But if you notice towards the end of the season, they started using Dobbins more than they used Gus Edwards, right? And so I looked at and just say, if you have Tyson Williams, he actually has a good potential both from a reception as well as potential runs to complement what Gus Edwards is doing. And if Gus Edwards tomorrow is injured and he goes out, you've got a potential number one running back right there. So I'm willing to take the risk on him.
Yeah. Jed, let me actually go through a couple of names and comment on any of these before we switch over to NFC West. Evan Ingram, undergoing tests to determine the severity of his calf. Carson Wentz was supposed to practice fully, but now is under a reserve COVID list because of he was near a coach that was tested positive. Deshaun Watson, the Texans are prepared to have Deshaun Watson on their roster, but inactive every single week. And Trey Lance, the wonderful Trey Lance, who we thought was going to do really, really well, has a small chip in his fingers and should be out probably for a week, maybe 2 weeks. Jed, any comments on any of these players?
The one, Deshaun Watson, that's the one, again, in a 12-team, I was thinking, should I, given that I had Ryan Tannehill as my starting quarterback, I thought.
You got Justin Fields.
Yeah, so instead I took Justin Fields. But I was thinking about Deshaun Watson again because I thought, boy, that maybe is a good stash. You just wait for the second half. I mean, guys, remember, Deshaun Watson is top five QB in the NFL, guaranteed, maybe top three. This guy's physical skills are off the charts. And he's going to play, I think. Barring the court issues, the lawsuit issues, I think he will be traded eventually, and then he should play. Whatever team he goes to, he should have a chance to play. So I wouldn't sleep on that. I'm surprised that they didn't make the trade before today. Actually, I think today is the deadline. Yeah. But we'll see what happens. I wouldn't lose that though. I mean, he's again amazing talent.
Yeah. Hey, look, I mean, based on what he did, all right, we're not even gonna talk about what he did. Pure football, if he gets traded to the Miami Dolphins, they will be tempted to play him if Tua struggles. You cannot ignore him because he's so good. Jim.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe I might disagree a little bit. I don't know if he'll necessarily play, right? So that's one of the reasons why, for me, I'm not willing to take the risk. Now, for me, it was either do I take a tight end like Everett from Seattle, or do I go after Deshaun Watson because I already have a backup? And so I just decided, you know what? I just need a backup for my tight end, and that's why I decided to go get Everett. But here's the thing. You're right. If you take them and you just stash them on your IR, now in our league, there's only one IR position. You're using up the IR position. And so am I willing to do that? I think if I had two or three spots, I would do it. I don't know if I would necessarily do it if I had one spot.
Yeah. Hey, going to NFC West, I'm going to start with the Rams. Jed, I'm actually going to start with you. Matthew Stafford, you said, hey, look, I'm concerned whether or not they're going to air it out as much. In 2020, he was QB 15 in 2020. Now, at the end of the day, in 2019, he was on pace for nearly 5,000 yards and 38 touchdowns before suffering a back injury. Everyone has high hopes that he's going to come in, and he has great receivers in Robert Woods, as well as Cooper Kupp, and even DeSean Jackson. But you're saying, hey, look, I'm concerned about Matthew Stafford. Is he even on your draft radar, or has he completely fallen off?
No, he is. But again, so just like yesterday, I had a choice between Stafford and Tannehill. And I was debating, but I ultimately went Tannehill because what's the one thing that Stafford has never had that he has now? A great defense. He has a phenomenal defense. The Rams are top five. They are going to keep games super close. They are not going to need him to be a 5,000-yard passer. I would take a bet right now. I guarantee you he will not hit 5,000. I'm not even sure, like around the 4,000 mark. So for me, I just don't think there's as much upside with Stafford, whereas like Tannehill with Julio coming in, you know, I'm hoping, you know, they have Derrick Henry, so don't need to rely as much, but maybe they try to save him a little and use Tannehill more. That was my thinking there.
Yeah. I mean,
Jim, go ahead.
If you think about it, right, like Stafford is being drafted around the same time as Tannehill, and he's also being drafted the same time as Joe Burrows, right? And so I looked at him and just say, yeah, he's got some great receivers, and I like the argument you made. Burrows doesn't have that good of a defense. And so he's got really three stud receivers and Joe Mixon who could potentially catch out of the backfield. And so they're going to throw that ball. And purely from a fantasy perspective, the points that he's going to generate is going to be pretty high, similar with Tannehill. Tannehill's going to have to take care of Julio Jones. He's going to have to take care of A.J. Brown. They're going to try to save Derrick Henry until the end like they always do. And I just feel like for me, I'd much rather take those two than the Stafford.
Yeah, and I almost took Burrows. The reason I didn't is the reports out of training camp have been that he just isn't confident in his knee yet. Mm-hmm. And I get that. With an ACL, I've had my ACL replaced. It takes a while psychologically to get over it. And so my concern was he wouldn't start well at the beginning of the season. I think he's going to end up being great, but it's going to take some time, and that's ultimately why I didn't take him.
Yeah.
Jim, going to the wide receivers, let's talk a little bit about Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. Here's what Robert Woods, in the last three seasons, Woods has averaged 15.6 points per fantasy points per game in the PPR league. Last year, he was wide receiver 10. Year before, wide receiver 17. Before that, wide receiver 13. Mm-hmm. Also, now Cooper Kupp as well, too. He has averaged over 5 receptions per game and also ranked among third amongst wide receivers in yards after the catch. He is very, very consistent. He has 10-plus fantasy points in 12 of 16 games in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you drafting ahead? Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp? Which one do you like more?
How about this? Robert Woods, I think, is a good, consistent number two player. Often underrated. I think gets you pretty consistent points. I think the player with the higher ceiling is Cooper Kupp with Stafford. I would not be surprised if Cooper Kupp becomes Stafford's favorite receiver. But that's just how I kind of look at it. But if I were to draft today on the safe side, I would say Robert Woods.
Yep. Hey, Jed, let me ask you, Daryl Henderson. Here's a great stat that our guy, in 22 games, Henderson has had at least 10 fantasy points only 5 times. In 22 games, he has had over 15 touches just 3 times. He is now your primary ball handler. Are you trusting Daryl Henderson?
You know, I think it's a boom or bust kind of equation here. You know, I think he could turn out really well. Like I said, I think the Rams may focus more on the running game than we expected. And I think Daryl Henderson could be the beneficiary of that. You know, you're drafting him around, he's in that, you know, high teens category. So the guys you're looking at, other Daryl Henderson, are Gus Edwards, Mike Davis, as Jimmy mm-hmm. talked about, Miles Sanders. So, you know, you're going to have to take a chance on any of those guys. It's just, who do you think has the bigger upside? And I think Henderson could very well, it could be a home run. We just have to see. But it is a boom or bust. He's either going to be really good or you're going to be really disappointed.
Yeah. Henderson, here's the thing. Henderson scares me, right? If I looked at a Mike Davis versus a Henderson or even somebody like Miles Sanders, the fact that they can't finish a season and every time you turn around they're getting injured scares me. It's kind of like the Carson Wentz thing. You know, I was reading this story out of the Indianapolis newspaper and they were like, it's just time to get rid of him, because every time you turn around he's either injured, he's got COVID, or something's going on as well too. So I just, for me, look, I'm willing to take risk, I'm willing to go after flyers, but I want my running backs to be consistent, and a Mike Davis to me is going to be solid. He's going to finish the season. You know what to expect from him.
Chad, going with the tight end, a lot of times I actually would disagree with Jimmy, where Cooper Kupp, I actually don't think he's going to be his number one receiver. I actually think it's going to be Tyler Higbee.
Really?
Matthew Stafford loves tight ends. For instance, he's very reliant. He relied heavily on his tight ends in his career. Last season, TJ Hockenson was 5th amongst tight ends with 101 targets. With Everett gone, how high are you drafting Tyler Higbee?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. And Higbee, he's been going right around the 10th, tight end taken. I think that's probably a little low. I agree with you there. There's probably a little more upside. Others that are right in that category are Logan Thomas, Robert Tonyan, also there. You know I'm a big fan of Logan Thomas. I still would probably take Logan Thomas over Tyler Higbee, but I think Tyler Higbee is better than a Robert Tonyan, maybe even a Noah Fant. I think you can draft him ahead of those guys.
Got it. Hey, let's switch gears over to the Seattle Seahawks. Jim, I'm going to start with you. Wait, look, everyone, we're not going to talk about Russell Wilson. Everyone knows he's one of your top quarterbacks. After Aaron Rodgers, after Pat Mahomes, after Lamar Jackson, all of those guys.
Kyler Murray, Josh Allen.
Kyler Murray, then you get into Russell Wilson. Let's talk about Chris Carson, all right? In 2020, Carson was running back 12 in points per game. He averaged about 20 fantasy points per game in the first 5 weeks. But Rashad Penny is coming back and to compete with Carson. Carson seems like he always gets injured when he has a rhythm going. How much do you like Chris Carson?
You know, I'm not a big fan of Chris Carson, right? Like Chris Carson, I would say, is going in your third, maybe your fourth round. And he's actually a decent running back. Again, I really want consistency in my running backs. I want somebody who I can trust. And for me this year, it's going to be somebody like a Mike Davis. So that's how I look at it.
Yeah. Jed, let me go over to you in terms of wide receivers. I know how much you love DK Metcalf. Do you love him enough to draft him? Definitely in the second round, but in the first round?
No, I don't think he jumps into that, you know, the top five category. I think he's right outside of that. I think he's around the DeAndre Hopkins, AJ Browns of the world, maybe even Justin Jeffersons, depending on how you think he is. But I do love DK Metcalf. I think the problem with the passing game in Seattle every year, the first half, they concentrate on the passing game. Russell Wilson goes nuts. DK Metcalf goes nuts. And then the second half, they focus more on the ground game. And so you just have to be really careful. They'll come out of the gate strong, but then you got to see if they can continue that.
I mean, what Chad is saying is that DK Metcalf averaged 21 points in fantasy per game. Second half, it dropped down to 12 points per game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the thing about DK Metcalf, here's one thing I'll say. I like big wide receivers. Like that's my I just like guys who are huge. And DK Metcalf is in that mold. AJ Brown, these guys are humongous. And so that's the main reason I like DK Metcalf. But yeah, I think the second half, they just changed their philosophy there. And so you got to be really careful.
Yeah.
Jim, Tyler Lockett failed to crack the top 36 wide receivers in 9 of his 16 games. In the past seasons, he has dropped from 13th to 27th to 45th in yards per route. We've noticed that he's been dropping a lot. Are you drafting Tyler Lockett? Or would you just avoid him and let someone else drop up?
You know, I would, right? Going back to what Jed said, if you look at Tyler Lockett last year, he actually had a productive season in terms of average fantasy per game, right? But a lot of it came because there was one game where he had 10 receptions for over 200 yards, and that skewed the numbers for the year. If you took that game out, he actually didn't have the best season. I mean, he had a good season, but he didn't have the best season. And so for me, like, again, like, I think there's other receivers that has higher ceilings that you can go after at that pick.
Yeah, I think Tyler Lockett's become basically a bi-week fill-in. So if you have a one-week need, Tyler Lockett is someone, like you said, you hope that you can hit that one Sunday. Every year he has at least one or two games where he just blows up. And so you hope that you can just happen to pick him for that week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And tight end, a lot of times we won't be talking too much about Gerald Everett. The only thing I would say about Gerald Everett is they brought in a new offensive coach. That coach was from Los Angeles. One of the first free agents he brought in was Gerald Everett. And so a lot of times, keep on your radar. He's someone that, unless some of you guys disagree, I wouldn't draft at this point, but I'd be watching in case one of my other, let's say Kyle Pitts, doesn't come through or struggles on early onset. You have a Gerald Everett as well, too.
Gerald Everett has impressed in training camp. You know, and so he's actually done pretty well in preseason games. And I actually can potentially see him as a pretty good backup tight end first and will make some impact in a couple of games.
Yeah. Let's switch over to 49ers. Jed, I've noticed Trey Lance has been somebody that you've been grabbing and stashing. Why Trey Lance over a Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, everyone like that, Trevor Lawrence?
Well, actually, I really like Trey Sermon, the other Trey, but Trey Lance as well. I do think there is upside there. The one thing with Trey Lance I'll say is I feel like his performance this preseason has suggested that he still needs some time. So whereas like a Justin Fields, you feel like he's going to start any moment, I think Trey Lance, you're going to have to wait a little bit, but the tools are there. The one thing I will say is this, though, for the San Francisco 49ers, this division, I think, is the hardest division to really figure out who's going to win. It's the most competitive. 1 through 4 are all solid. I think the 49ers are going to win this division. I think they're going to bounce back from last year. I think the defense is going to carry the day. The offense has enough weapons to get there. And so I think, again, you want to pick players on teams that you think are going to win because they're going to have the most points. So I do like the 49ers.
Very good. Jim, going with the running backs as well, too. Let me just give you this. Raheem Mostert was on pace to finish as the top 10 fantasy running back in 2020. In 8 games in 2020, he had 104 carries for 520 yards and 2 touchdowns. Along with that, he added 16 catches with another touchdown. The only problem is he missed 8 games. And so in comes Trey Sermon. How are you even drafting Raheem Mostert?
You know what? I will say the San Francisco players scare me. Let me just say, I love Trey Sermon. And I agree with you, Jed. I actually think that Trey Sermon is going to have a great year. The thing that scares me about the 49ers, and last year was an odd year, but it's indicative of where some of these players are, right? Mostert, Jimmy G, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, none of them made through the entire year. And so you're entering into this year where it's longer, it's 17 games. For me, the probability of them staying on the field for all 17 games, I think it's going to be pretty low. And so for what I much rather do is if I have, I'm in the later rounds, I'll pick up a Trey Lance. I'll go after a Trey Sermon because I do think at some point or another, they're going to be the starters or at least starting for a couple of games and get you some good fantasy points.
Yeah, I think do not sleep on the running back. Whoever the running back is in San Francisco, the rushing game has proven itself. Just like Denver, like the scheme mm-hmm. that they use in San Francisco is what produces the points. So whoever's the back is going to get points. I'll tell you one thing my oldest son did in a draft. He drafted both Raheem Mostert and Trey Sermon. I thought that was really smart because he's kind of guaranteeing himself whatever rushing yards are there, he's going to get them.
Yeah. Very, very good. Very, very good. Hey, let's go with the wide receivers as well, too. I think all three of us agree that we love, love Brandon Ayuk. And from weeks 7 through 14 in 2020, Ayuk was wide receiver 3 behind only Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill, where he averaged 95 receiving yards and 8 receptions per game. Anyone disagree? I mean, a lot of times wide receivers own you. You probably would snag him probably in their fourth round, third round probably.
The only thing that concerns me about Ayuk is if you've read the recent reports coming out of training camp, he has a groin injury that he's kind of going through, right? And if you and I all know, groin injuries tend to linger. And a lot of these wide receivers, that's something that will really limit their production. So I agree. So, like, even yesterday, right, there were – during our 12-team fantasy, Ayuk was on the board, and the question is, should I go after an Ayuk or should I go after somebody else? And so I end up going after somebody else, partly because the groin injury worried me for Ayuk.
Yeah, hey, I agree. Now, it's tricky to figure out which of the wide receivers to go with. Again, I like both of them. They have good size, good speed, but it's just difficult. You know, injury history is definitely problematic.
Yeah. George Kittle's probably the third wide receiver. Anyone disagree?
Yeah.
Probably even the second, where I would say there's Travis Kelce, and it comes down to Waller or Kittle's. Mm-hmm. I would probably pick Kittle's.
Really? I just think Waller is a better player from Kittle's. I think Kittle's has just got too much more competition. Waller seems to be the person that Carr goes after whenever he's in trouble or in the red zone.
Yeah, the reason I agree with Tommy, though, is that I think the Raiders are going to drop off this year. I'm expecting they made a ton of changes on their line. I think they lost 3 of their starting line, and so I think they're going to be running for their lives. I think that whole offense is going to really hurt this year.
The concern always with Kittle is last year he missed 8 games with knee and foot injuries. But the latest stat is that the games were all 3 – Samuel, Ayuk, and Kittle's play. Kittle's had a 30% share of the balls thrown over to him. So he does get his fair share of balls thrown to him.
I mean, you could argue that he's basically the wide receiver 1 in San Francisco. So, you know, that again puts him in some elite company.
Yep. Going to Cardinals, again, none of us. Kyler Murray, you can't disagree. He's probably your second best quarterback over there as well, too. And Jim, let me ask you a quick question. In terms of wide receivers, how high are you drafting Andre Hopkins?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Hopkins is top 5. I really like the Cardinals. I think you're going to see continued progression, especially with Kyler Murray entering into year 3. I really like the wide receiver connection that he has, and I expect Hopkins to dominate. So I think he's a top 5 easy wide receiver pick.
Got it. Now, would you say he's actually, after Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, and then DeAndre Hopkins, you would say?
No. I like Stephon Diggs. I like Calvin Ridley. I even like the person for me that's a surprise is I like Justin Jefferson. I think Justin Jefferson can end up being top 5. So I think Hopkins
Over all the right these guys. Pick.
Okay. Yeah, I think Justin Jefferson could be that good, barring Kirk Cousins getting COVID, which just drives me nuts. But I think Hopkins is right there with a DK Metcalf and an AJ Brown. So, you know, right outside, either top the fifth best or right outside of that, I would feel confident with that.
Got it. Hey, now, AJ Green, is he even on your radar, Jed?
No, AJ Brown, not AJ Green. Yeah, AJ Green from the card. No.
Yeah.
He's not on my radar at all. No. That last year in Cincinnati, I thought was where he dropped off. Last year you really saw his age catch up to him. He couldn't get the separation that he's used to. And so then, the wide receivers that are on the outside that are known for their speed, when they lose that speed, they have to make the switch to the slot. And like that is a really hard, because now you're going over the middle. It's a much more physical, it's a different kind of game, and I feel like he didn't make that transition well.
Mm-hmm. Got it. No, he's looking great in training camp here, Jed.
It's just training camp.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim, now let me ask you a quick question. In terms of ADP, Matthew Berry makes the argument in an auction league or even in terms of drafts, a lot of times James Conner might be a better pick-em than Chase Edmonds, just because a lot of times it will probably be a split carry, and you could and everyone is overlooking James Conner, and you could easily go in and pick him up. What do you think?
No, I actually was just thinking about the same thing. If you look at the ADP of where James Conner is, he's actually a pretty good value for you to consider, right? Chase Edmonds is actually decent, and he'll be your starter, but I think James Conner will get a good chunk of yardage and shares of the carries for Arizona as well too.
Got it. Very, very good. Other than that, I'm assuming that no one's drafting their tight end over there in the Cardinals.
I don't think so, but here's the one thing I was thinking about, right? If you look at the offensive scheme that they use in Arizona, they are the team that uses the most wide receiver sets. And so for me, again, whether it's Chase Edmonds or James Conner, I can see them, what they can do. They'll put Conners in the backfield. They'll put Chase Edmonds out at the wide receiver slot. And instead of a tight end, they'll bring in somebody like a Rondale Moore, who's going to come in. So you'll have AJ Green, you'll have DeAndre, you'll have a Rondale Moore, you'll have a Chase Edmonds. And so for me, that's one of the reasons why I don't know if the tight end is as valued in that offense. But don't sleep on a guy like a Rondale Moore, who actually might turn out to be a good third wide receiver for you during some of those weeks.
Got it. Hey, switching gears over for real fast as we wrap up here. Jed, I'm going to actually, Najee Harris, out of all of the rookies, guaranteed is probably the one that we're going to pick the most, that we love the most. After that, which of these rookies do you like the most? Do you like a Ja'Marr Chase, Kyle Pitts? Do you like a Javonte Williams or Waddle or Smith, Devontae Smith?
Well, of those, and I noticed you didn't include a running back, because normally for rookies, running back is where I feel like you have the most potential to get points. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you see Najee Harris. But among the wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase, I would have said, but he has not had a good preseason. If you guys
This week he had a good preseason game.
But he still had a drop in that game. He dropped a simple bubble pass out, bubble screen out. And so I'm just concerned about that. And again, with what I mentioned about Joe Burrow's earlier, I feel like he's still not all the way there. So that's why I'm going to skip on him. If you scroll down, I do like Waddle. I think Waddle and Miami, I think we're going to see a continued improvement from Tua. And I think, that connection from school could, really help. So I think Waddle might be the pick there.
Yeah. Jim, you seem to like Javonte Williams quite a lot.
I like Javonte Williams. By the way, before I say Javonte, yesterday during our league, I was so peeved because I was ready to pick Jalen Waddle. I had him in my queue, ready to press send, and Tommy had him right before me and picked him, and it just threw me off. And so, like, when you're doing a snake draft, all of a sudden now you have to go find a new player within a certain amount of time when you already targeted a certain person.
Yeah, it was 45 seconds too, which actually I liked the 45 second clock, but it was fast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was like, oh, shoot. And I forgot who I ended up taking, but I was peeved. I was so peeved. Yeah. Anyways, what was there? Okay. So I like Javonte Williams. I like Michael Carter. I like Tyson Williams from Baltimore. Like, those are three good rookie running backs. Trey Sermon is another one. I actually like them. I see good potential all four of them from a fantasy production.
The other thing I'll say, don't sleep on Trevor Lawrence, man. That mm-hmm. last game, if you watch his last game, he really finally showed out. And the fact that they traded Gardner Minshew tells you everything you need to know. They are all in. They've seen him perform, and they're basically like, we don't want any pressure on him to think that this guy's behind him. We are 100% in on Trevor Lawrence. And when a coaching staff and a franchise does that, you need to pay attention, because I think this guy, he could be the real deal.
Yep. And especially you and I, in one of my leagues, I have a Ryan Tannehill. You have a Ryan Tannehill. You want to pick someone like these guys, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, all those guys, just in case your steady quarterback fails.
But aren't you worried about their line?
Yes, but
I'm so worried about their line.
Yeah, but I think James Robinson will give him enough coverage there to, you know, give him where the defenses have to be honest. And then Trevor Lawrence, he showed in this last game is the ability to get away, the ability mm-hmm. to, you know, move out of the pocket and throw while on the run. I mean, his accuracy, if you saw that touchdown pass he threw over into the corner, I mean, the accuracy on that throw was there's very few people who can do that.
Yeah, the other thing, right? Okay, so the other thing I have to worry about, you've got Marvin Jones, who's injured, but will play. You've got DJ Chark, who I think hurt his hand, but still will play. Chenault, the second-year receiver. I actually think that he's actually going to do some pretty good things this year. And if you've noticed, James Robinson has skyrocketed in the number of these draft boards as well, too.
Yeah, rightfully so. I mean, I was actually picking him before ETN anyway, got hurt. But now the cat's out of the bag. Everyone knows Robinson top 20, top 15.
Yeah.
Jim, in terms of sleepers as well, too, I know a lot of times you like Callaway. All right? Mm-hmm. He's not a sleeper anymore because he's with New Orleans with Jameis Winston starting. You also like Pittman. Suddenly, with the injury to T.Y. Hilton, Pittman is also on your draft board. Let me actually throw a couple of these sleepers over to you as well, too. Is it Jamal Williams, backup running back in Detroit to DeAndre Swift, Giovanni Bernard, Russell Gage, your second wide receiver next to Calvin Ridley, or Irv Smith, tight end over in Minnesota?
Well, you know, Irv Smith is injured, right?
Yep, so, for at least a couple weeks.
Yeah. So he's injured, right? But I actually like Irv Smith. Russell Gage, I don't know if I like Russell Gage, partly just because I know that Kyle Pitts is going to get quite a few of the receptions that Russell Gage should have gotten than Julio Jones got. For me, the running back that I'm a little bit more worried about is DeAndre Swift in Detroit. And so for having a Jamal Williams there as a handicap from a fantasy perspective is actually really good because, I don't know. I've just been hearing tons of reports from training camp that Swift is just like he's injured or something's just not right, and he might be out for a couple of games early in the season. So,
yeah, Jed, who do you like? Do you like a Jamal Williams, Giovanni Bernard? Do you like a Russell Gage or Irv Smith?
Well, I do agree with the Irv Smith pick. Again, I'm big on the Vikings this year, but the one you jumped out of there that you skipped over was Jonnu Smith. I do like Jonnu Smith in New England. I noticed he's not a lot of draft boards. He's not being drafted. I think people are shying away from Hunter Henry or Jonnu Smith, and I wouldn't miss that. Again, New England, we know what they can do with the tight end production. One of them is going to do well. It is a question of their injury history, whether or not they can stay healthy. But I feel like one of those guys is going to hit.
Now, the only reason, Jed, I did not pick Jonnu Smith is I'm assuming he's being picked as a tight end. Look, he did a very, very good job with Tennessee. And I think a lot of times in this particular offense, especially if Mac Jones plays as starting quarterback, you have to pick up Jonnu Smith.
Yeah. Okay, I know we got to get going, but can I ask you one question? Zach Moss, do you guys think that he'll be fantasy relevant this year?
Ooh, I think he'll be fantasy relevant. I mean,
number one running back, or do you think?
Yeah, I think that's the issue. Is it's going to be split carries? You know, and the question is are they going to commit to one, or are they going to? Because last year they went split the whole season, and so when you do that, it really limits your value. But I think the talent is there.
Yeah. Hey, Jim. Last question as we wrap up: top five fantasy players who switch teams. Out of these five players, which players will make the most contribution in fantasy this year? Julio Jones, Kenny Galladay, Mike Davis, Philip Lindsay, or Matthew Stafford? Which one will make the most impact in fantasy? Julio Jones, Kenny Galladay, Mike Davis, Philip Lindsay, Matthew Stafford.
I think it'll be Mike Davis. And Mike Davis and Matthew Stafford, top two. I do think that Julio Jones will do well in the first half of the season. I think he's too old to try to survive the entire season.
Yeah, I agree with you. I totally agree. I think Mike Davis is the clear pick out of those top five. Again, mm-hmm. we said he's a sleeper, but that's the guy I would target. Yeah.
He's good value. I'm targeting him in so many rounds towards the end or towards the latter half of the middle rounds.
Yep. I got it, Jack, guys. It was good seeing you.
Talk soon. Bye.